How's everyone? I want to begin with this bold statement today. And the statement is this. Today we will encounter the God of. All right, I want to just begin with that statement. Today we will encounter the God of. I was doing some reading this week and saw something from a pastor of an Episcopalian church. And he would greet his church like this every Sunday morning. He would say, "Today you can touch God. Right here, right now, you can enter into His presence and you can touch God." But it was said, but then he would pause and he would just smile at the people for just a little bit. And he would look at him and say, "But even more important than that, God can touch you today." That's what we really need, is for God to touch us, for us to encounter Him. And then one last thing from a human before we turn to the Scriptures and hear from the Lord. Anybody know Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody? Some of you have heard that name before. He said this, "Do not expect the same experience that you had 2 or 20 years ago. You will have a fresh experience, and God will deal with you in His own way." So whatever God has done in the past, don't think that you got to somehow recapture that moment. God is new and He is fresh and He is always making things new. So today I think you ought to expect something fresh. So I'm going to make that bold declaration again today. We will encounter the God of. And you say, "But Kevin, that might be a little bit presumptuous." You know, you being a little presumptuous saying that all of us are going to encounter God. Well, let me draw you to some scriptures. Since you have your Bibles, you can turn there, right? Hebrews 11. And you may want to put your finger there because we will travel back there and spend some time there. But Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is the promise, how I know that you can encounter God today. It says, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God," here it is, "must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So what is that saying? One, if we believe that He is God, that He is who He says He is, that He will reward us if we seek Him. So let me say it again. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. In fact, that's what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Many of you know those verses, right? We say those verses over ourselves and over our kids. It goes something like this. It says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And everybody remembers those verses. But if you were to flip over to Jeremiah 29 and get to verse 13, that's really the most beautiful portion of that whole scripture. It's not so much that he prospers us and not calamity, or that He gives us a future and a hope. The real gift is found just after that when He says this, "And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with a whole heart." See, He's the real gift. And the way you get the gift this morning, Scripture says that if you seek Me, you'll find Me. One thing, seek for Me with a whole heart. Don't come half-hearted. So today I would tell you, don't come at this thing half-hearted. Don't come at this thing half-cocked. If you're going to go after God today, then go after God today. And so Paul, if I can take you to his words, we've been in 2 Timothy for a little bit, and 2 Timothy is not very far from Hebrews. It's just back a little ways. And what has been on my mind in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is these words that Paul says to this young pastor, which I believe is appropriate for us today. He says, there's a group of people and they're holding to a form of godliness, but they're denying His power. Don't be like that. Yeah? And so I would tell you that there is a form of godliness out there, but it denies the power. Don't be like that. And he says that they're always learning, but they're never coming to a knowledge of the truth. You hear that? Always learning. And I would say to you today that Christianity is not about a creed, although we have them. Have you heard the Apostles' Creed? You've heard the Nicene Creed, those different things. They start off in some ways like this. I believe in God, Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. There's just one problem with that. You can nod your head and be done. You can nod your head and say, yeah, there's a Father and He's a creator of heaven and earth. Yeah, there's a God somewhere out there. Well, you know what? That's no better than the demons of hell. They know that as well. Right? That's nothing to attain to. The demons of hell have come that far. So we need something more than a creed. And that's what Paul is telling us in 2 Timothy. He's saying, you need more than a creed. You need to know God. You need to come into His presence. And so I'm going to go back to the declaration. Today we will encounter the God of Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. Today we will encounter the God of Hebrews 11. He says that we must know that He is, believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And then there's this list of names. If you look in Hebrews 11, there's this laundry list of names, these heroes of the faith. This is called the Hall of Fame. You know, Cooperstown has baseball. Where's football? Canton, Ohio. Football Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame. Where is it? Got to be in Kansas, right? Somewhere? I don't know where that is. You want to know where the Hall of Fame of Faith is? It's in Hebrews 11. And you don't need a ticket or a plane or anything to get there. You can just open your scripture. And there's this list of names. And when I see the list of names, I find something in common with all of them. They all had an encounter with God. They came face to face with God. So since we got our young people in the room, you guys can help us because y'all have been in your Bible stories since you've been young and you know these stories, and so you can help some of our older ones out who maybe have forgotten some of these, okay? So let me give you a name, Abraham. How did Abraham encounter God? You're not used to being asked a question during the sermon, are you? It's like, wait a minute, what did I just come upon? Yeah, which time, right? So he comes upon him the first time. He says, go out, right? My question would be, okay, where? And Abraham says, and God says to Abraham, to a place I'll show you. Sometimes you have to just go out. And God says, I'll show you while you're traveling. Where it is that you got, where you have to go. And then Abraham encounters God again, and God makes him a promise that he's going to have a what? Son. And Abraham waits on that promise for 25 years. That's an encounter with God. That you can hold on to that encounter for 25 years and not see any evidence of it. Did he hold on to it perfectly? No, he didn't. But he held on. For 25 years, as his wife doubted him, as his family doubted him, as everybody around him doubted him, the encounter that he had with God, when God said, I'm going to bless you with a child, and that child is going to make you the father of many nations. And Abraham, for 25 years, holds on to that encounter with God against all odds until his son Isaac is born. And then Jacob. This man, Jacob, he has an encounter, and it's the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF encounter. Did you know that there's one of those, a wrestling encounter in Scripture? Jacob is out of order. He's always out of order. He's out of the birth order. He was born wrong at a set of twins. He gets the wrong wife. There's just all kind of things just out of order with Jacob. But here's the thing about Jacob. He would not quit pursuing God. He had to have more. And so he has this encounter where he wrestles with an angel of the Lord. And he wrestles with him until morning. And he ends up with a limp, but he gets what he wants. And I would tell you this, that there are times when if you want more of God, you got to go after it. And you have to persist. And the question will be, well, why is God messing with me that way? Why would He make me wrestle over something? Why doesn't He just give it to me? And I would say the answer is this, because you need to know that you really want it. You see, it's in the wrestling. It's in the struggle that you get to decide if you want to stop and pursue lesser things or if you're going to stand before God and say, I'm not moving because I got to have more of You. And so his encounter is that he wrestles with God. And then Moses, another man with many encounters, maybe more of any. His first encounter is out of what? A burning bush. right? He has this encounter at a burning bush. And then Moses gets to this place that he dares to ask God, God, I want to see your glory. I hope that there's somebody, some folks in the room that would dare to go before God and say, God, I want to see your glory. And God told Moses, you can't handle that, buddy. But here's what we're going to do. All right, I'm going to let you see my back portion as I go by. And he saw the goodness of God. Moses asked for an encounter with his glory. And his glory shows up in his goodness. And I would venture to say Moses knew the goodness of God like few know. Because he encountered the God of goodness. He didn't just read about it. He encountered Him. And then, Israel, they wander through the wilderness. And you're thinking, what in the world is happening? While they are wandering through the wilderness, they're encountering God. All of those Jehovah names that you hear about in Scripture, most of them come through this time in the wilderness where God is revealing Himself to them. Some of you may feel like, I feel like I'm in the wilderness. I feel like I'm wandering aimlessly around. And I would say, it could be that God is taking you from place to place in order that you might encounter Him and that you might know Him more. Now, there is a lesson by that. It was a 40-year journey for them, and I think it was supposed to take something like 11 days, right? Yeah. We're like that sometimes, right? Yeah. God could have done it in 11 days. But because of our stubborn heart, right? Because of our wanting to do it our own way, because of our fear, whatever it may be, we take an 11-day journey and turn it into a 40-year adventure, right? So I would say that there is some value in just being obedient and following God. And so the people of Israel, they encounter God. And then Joshua, he's one of my favorite. Young people, y'all hear this one for me, okay? Moses would go into the tent and he would hear from God, and then God would send him out to speak to the people. And I believe that's Exodus 33. And it says this one little line there, which is almost easily lost, but it says, and Joshua would remain in the tent and he would stay in the presence of God. I want you to picture that in your head. God comes down, His presence speaks with Moses. Joshua is there. He's Moses' assistant, if you will. And then Moses gets up to go declare the word, and Joshua says, Moses, if you don't mind, I'm going to sit this one out. And I'm going to just hang out right here because the presence of God is so good. You ever been in a place where the presence of God is just thick and you didn't want to leave? Whew, man, it is this most amazing thing when you're just in His presence. And you're like, okay, there are other things to do. There are dishes to wash. There's grass to cut. There's whatever. You know, there's lunch to attend to, whatever. But I just can't. I just need to stay here with God. And then Gideon, for anybody that might be a little bit cowardly, quite honestly, I can be that way sometimes. Yeah? I can think about all the things that God might require me to do, that God might ask me to do, and I can begin to start breathing heavy and to get anxious and to wonder, oh, I don't know if I could do that or not. What I'm finding recently is God's been speaking to me and saying, Kevin, I didn't ask you to invent all those things. I didn't put those things in your heart. All I want you to do is just go do what I tell you to do. Quit imagining what I might ask you to do. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. That puts me at ease. Yeah, I can sit here in this room sometimes thinking about me having to go out there and do something wild and crazy before people, and I just get anxious and afraid. Y'all probably don't even have those thoughts, okay? Yeah, but I'm like, what would He ask me to do? And I get anxious, and God's just been telling me, Kevin, don't invent stuff. I didn't tell you to go out there and do that. Just do what I asked you to do. And I feel like if I stay in the moment, you know what? There's some boldness there. It doesn't mean that all fear is gone, but there's courage there. Gideon, he's a man that's afraid. He's in the wine press, and he's sifting wheat. Why? Because he's hiding from enemies. And the presence of God and this angel of the Lord comes to him, and you know the story. He says, hey, mighty warrior. This is Gideon hanging out in the wine press, right? We know the story, right? Cowardly, hanging out in the wine press. Angel comes and says, oh, mighty warrior. I can just picture this one. Gideon's going, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. Because I don't see you how you see yourself. I see you as the way I have made you. So you need to encounter, even your opinion of yourself has to come into an encounter with me. You can't even know yourself. Do you realize that? Until you encounter how God sees you. Oh, that was good. That wasn't even in notes. That was just Holy Spirit right there for you. Yeah? You don't know you. You don't. You don't know you until you have encountered God. And God says, this is who I see you as. I see you as a warrior. Now go do this. And then this. And in the midst of the going, you'll become the person that I've said that you would be. Lord, I done preached to myself. And then David. And I look at David and I go, David, where are the encounters with David? Most of the encounters with David happen alone. There's nobody around. He's out in these fields with the sheep. And he's encountering God. And he's writing these psalms. And nobody sees what's going on. Can I tell you that one of the most beautiful places you can pursue God is in the quiet alone when nobody's watching. It's one of the best places where David did it. Nobody knew what was happening with David. He's out there and you say, but I don't have time. I say, yeah, you do. There are a lot of people who are much more busy than you and I, and they can do it. So we can. Don't say you don't have time. You do. David pursued God in the midst of it. He's watching sheep, and he comes up with Psalms 23. Woo! Have you ever read it? If not, you ought to just write that down. Psalms 23 is one of the most beautiful things penned in Scripture because David had encountered God as a shepherd while he was doing his job, which was raising sheep. And it's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. And we benefit from the Psalms that are written. Why? Because David is a man who encountered God. I can't spend too much longer, but I at least need to tell you about this one. You said, but you've been in the Old Testament. I know I have. I'll go into the New. So there's Paul. You remember him? His name was Saul. And he is the religious of the religious, right? He's got this whole church thing down. I'm speculating at this point, okay? He's got this whole religion thing down. In fact, in Philippians, he says, when it comes to religion, I was it. I was the man. I had all the stuff. And you know what happens? Saul, on the road to Damascus, he encounters the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? Who are you? You remember that? He encounters this voice. And he says, who are you? The religious man hears the voice of the Lord, has no idea who he's talking to. Ooh, that ought to speak. The religious, can I say that one more time? The religious man who is more religious than everyone hears the voice of God, and his response to that is, who are you? And he blinds him. And he puts him in a place. And then he calls on a man named Ananias, who is only mentioned one time in Scripture. And he speaks to Ananias. And he calls Ananias, and Ananias says, Lord, here I am. I hope that speaks to you. The religious man hears the voice of God and says, who are you? This virtually unknown man named Ananias hears the same voice, and he says, here I am, Lord. What do you need from me? And then Paul begins to have to encounter this God of Ananias, and he has to be taught to let go of this religious stuff so that he might encounter the one true God. The religious are always struggling to hear God. Those who are having encounters with God, they know Him. Forsake the religion so that you might know God. And then when Paul begins to preach, that's what he was saying to Timothy. That's why I brought you to 2 Timothy earlier. Is he said, you don't want this religious stuff of just knowing stuff in your head, Timothy. That's not going to cut it. I want you to truly know Him. That's why in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I count all of that religious stuff as loss, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, to be conformed to the image of Christ. He says, I'll forsake all of that I might know Him. That word there means that I might experience God in all of His fullness, that I might experience Jesus. The prayers that He prays over the church is that our eyes might be opened, that we'd get a revelation of who God is. Why? So that you would know Him, so that you would encounter Him. And so I asked Brantley about some encounters that she'd had this week. I want you to think if you've had an encounter with God, all right? I hope you've had many. But think back to some encounters that you had with God. And while you're doing that, let me preface something, okay? We all struggle, I would say, at times with things like doubt and worry and fear. There may be somebody in the room that hasn't praised God for you. That's awesome. But I just bet you I'm speaking to somebody that's had to deal with some doubts and some fears, some uncertainties, some anxieties and things like that. I ran across this statement. I believe that it is from Tim Keller. I got it secondhand, so I tried to look back and see if I could pinpoint it to Tim Keller. If it's not Tim Keller, you can just say Kevin said it, okay? I don't know who, but I love it. It says, doubt exposes our theological gaps. Now you're like, theological gaps? I don't know what that means. Let me simplify that for you. Doubt exposes where we don't know God well. Let me say that one more time. Your doubt exposes where you don't know God well. You're like, I got some doubts about my finances. Then I would say you need to encounter the God that provides. You say, I got some doubts about my forgiveness. I would say you need to re-encounter this God of salvation. I got some doubts about some stuff that's going on in my body. You need to encounter this God of healing. I got some doubts about God. You need to encounter the God that is faithful, even when we doubt Him. And so I asked Brantley, I said, Brantley, talk to me about some encounters that you've had with God. And she listed a few, and one of them was pretty important. We often forget about this because God's done such an incredible work in this. When Brantley and I were dating, feared his visit, and Brantley's my wife, by the way. When we were dating, I got word long after a lot of this had happened. Apparently, we weren't dating enough for me to stay in the loop, okay, with what's going on. And this is a pretty important loop, okay, which is that my then-girlfriend, most of you have heard this story, gets really, really sick, goes to the doctor, blood counts all out of whack. She goes to an oncologist, and they tell her, you have leukemia. Can I just be selfish for a minute and say, what does a guy do who's dating a girl that has leukemia? That's how selfish I was. I was like, Lord, we just started dating. She has leukemia. What in the world? You can't break up with a girl that has leukemia. Huh? Who does that? Okay, enough about me. I decided I'd marry her. I said, I can't break up with her. I guess I'll marry her. She said, when that oncologist presented those reports and they said, you have leukemia. She said, there was such a peace that came over me. How old were you? She was 19. At 19 years old, she said, such a peace of God just came over me that said, it's going to be fine. She said, I don't even know that my parents encountered God that way, because she said, her mom and her dad, of course, they worried about the little girl and what was going to happen to her. But all through that process, she was at such peace. And they would do these tests, and her signs began to improve. And they said, well, we'll do some more tests, and we're going to hold off on this thing. And before long, they said, you know what? We don't know what happened to you, but you don't have leukemia anymore. And we're not going to do any tests anymore. Yeah, that's good. We could give God a bigger hand for that, right? I think I kind of. It's interesting that she encountered the God of peace first, which I think is what she needed to carry her in that moment, so that then she could encounter this God of healing. And as I've been thinking this week about how we must encounter God, we can't just have this head knowledge of this thing. I would describe it this way, as I love the life of David. I've mentioned him before. And here's what David would do. His job was to take the territory that had been lost back over. All right? All the promised land of God, he was supposed to take that territory back. It had been lost. Now, how does he do it? He does it through prayer. He goes before God and says he inquires of the Lord. And then God would tell him, go. Or God would say, not yet, don't go. And he just inquires of God, and God tells him what to do. And David then begins to take over all the promised land territory. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ died, he gave you all the provisions of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's your promised land. When he died on the cross, he gave you all of God that you might encounter and live in all the promises and the nature and the character of God. But that ground's got to be taken, young man and young woman. That ground has to be taken. And David would take an area and he would hold it. And I want to take you back now to Brantley, because I believe what happened is that she encountered God in the oncologist's office. And she experienced the peace of God. And she took that ground. And then when she went home, even though she was in bed sleeping most of the time, she took that ground. And everywhere she walked, because she had encountered the God of peace, she was taking ground. Even if the people around her, they were not, she was. And then her question to her statement to me as we were driving in the car, she said, I should use that more. I should use that experience more. And I said, yes, that is the essence of it all. It's that when God allows you to take some ground and you encounter the God of peace in the oncologist office, then you ought to be able to encounter the God of peace wherever else you go. You leverage that moment in every other moment. And then you learn more. You get a greater revelation, a greater understanding of the God of peace. And life then becomes, I'm just building on these encounters that I'm having with God. So you encounter this God of peace. So I need, like, this corner of the room, I need y'all to stand up. Yeah, I know. Everything about this service is weirder than most everything we do, okay? I'm preaching first, we're singing last, I'm asking you questions, we're standing up. You know, I know. So we take this ground of peace right here, okay? But that's just one area of our life, right? Y'all all got a debit card and a checkbook and a wallet, right? Yeah? I bet you want to encounter God in some way in that area. You know? So what do? I mean, we can sit around and talk about these little cute things. You know, God's got your wallet and all that, you know, and God's got your finances and all that. Well, I can tell you this. You need to encounter the God of wisdom. I'm going to just let that sink in. All right? I bet you want to encounter the God of deliverance that would deliver you from it. I know you do. The only problem is you'd be just like Israel, doing something stupid again tomorrow. Honestly, I know. I've been there. I know why. I'm telling you, okay? You don't need the God of deliverance. You know what you need? You need Jehovah Jireh. You need the God of wisdom. That wisdom says, spend less than you make. Hold off until you can afford it. Right? Start on an emergency fund. You're like, oh, you're starting to meddle now. I am, but watch what happens. About half of y'all stand up. You encounter the God of wisdom. You encounter the God of provision. And all of a sudden, you start taking over ground. You take over the ground in your checkbook. You take over ground every time you look at your bank account. You're not fearful anymore. Why? Because God is moving. You see, it ain't all good today, but I'm getting there because I'm following God. And then something happens and maybe one of your kids gets sick. Woo, that'll rock your world, won't it? You know? And then what do? All those cute little things about God, you know, that kind of goes out the window now. Now something's got to happen. What has to happen? I have to encounter this God that heals. And when I do, y'all just go on and stand up so we can move this thing along. You see what happens? We start taking ground. And then all of a sudden, if you're over here, then you're like, I want to stand up. You're like, I want to stand up too. I want some of that. That's what happens inside of you. You're like, wait a minute. I have experienced this God of peace, and I've experienced this God of wisdom and this God of provision. And now I've got this other area of my life, and I'm wondering if God's going to do it. Every one of you should have stood up. Go on, stand up. And you look at it and say, yes, he's going to do it because he did it before. And he will do it again. What I need to encounter God in this moment of my life. That old churchy stuff ain't going to do it. Mm-mm. It'll fail me right there. It'll leave you hanging. I need to encounter God. Now y'all can sit down. Thank you for that. So I've taken you there to take you here. Today we will encounter the God of Hebrews 11, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Gideon and David, the God of Brantley in the oncology office, the God that you have encountered in your lives. We're going to encounter Him. But some of you may be saying, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how, and I don't want to leave you without that. That's why we saved worship to last, that you would have time for you to encounter God. And so I need to take you to Psalms 40, a psalm of David, and he says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Do you hear that? I waited patiently on the Lord, and then he heard me, and he inclined his ear to me. If you go back to Psalms 37, just a page back, Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, this is what resting is not. Waiting on God is not this. I don't know why God ain't done anything. God still hadn't done anything. Could someone please tell me why God hasn't done anything in my life? He sees me waiting. He sees me sitting right here. Waiting in Scripture does not mean sitting on your behind doing nothing. Waiting on God means you ambush Him. You're like, what? Yeah. Any hunters in the room? Anybody hunt? Yeah, go on, raise your hand. Wait, be proud. You're like, is it okay to be a hunter in church? Absolutely. Raise your hand. All right, so I love me some deer meat. Love it. Love to eat it, love it in anything, all right? Hunting season is going to come around, and all those folks that raise their hand, they're going to go out and they're going to wait on a deer, and I am too, okay? Now, I'm going to wait at home. If it's before 6 o'clock, I'm waiting in my bed, all right? Because that's what I do until about 6 is I sleep, okay? Now, that's how I'm waiting. Now, at 6 o'clock, I'm going to get up, I'm going to make some coffee, I'm going to go sit in my blue chair, and I'm going to wait on God, but there's no deer in my living room. And I'm just going to keep waiting. But now, see, Jeff Lucas, he's going to do something different. Jeff's going to wait, but Jeff's done gone out there, and I don't even know if this is legal, but he done put some stuff down. He done planted some stuff, threw some stuff out, you know, some stuff that might attract the deer. You know, he got some stuff that smells that apparently they like, all kind of stuff, you know. And then Jeff has gone out, and he's figured out where they go and where they don't go. Now, Jeff's going to go wait, too, but he's going to position himself where he know those deer walk. Because, see, Jeff is going with a totally different intention than I am. See, I'm waiting on a deer, but I'm hoping somebody's going to bring one killed, cleaned, packaged, and dry-sealed. It's been a long time since I've had any deer in my refrigerator. That's how most of us are as Christians. We wait on the Lord in our chair doing absolutely nothing, hoping that somebody's going to bring something to us. But the ones who truly know how to wait upon the Lord, the ones that you look up to as spiritual, the ones that you say, I want to be like that. Do you know how they got like that? They went where God was. They ambushed Him. They knew His ways. They knew what He liked and what He didn't like. They know where He shows up and where He doesn't. And they position themselves there. This is the last part. This is how you do it. How do you wait on the Lord like a hunter that you might ambush God? One, that's why I asked you to bring this today. You see it? That's why I asked you to bring this. Now, you don't have to have it in this form. You can still have your digital form. I'm good with that. But you'll find him here. You will find him here. And you say, but it's hard, Kevin. I know. I bet Jeff wakes up on those mornings before dark and goes, I'd rather be sleeping, but I really want to kill a deer. And it's the want to go hunting that supersedes the want to stay in bed. At some point, you just get so doggone hungry that you say, I got to bust into this thing regardless. Or it says, you know what? I don't know what to do. Chris, I know that God is here. Could you help me with it? You know? Can you, I'll humble myself. Can you help me with it? And you will find him in these words. You will find it when someone speaks the word over you. You will find it when we sing, that we are singing the words of God so that the words of God might set your heart on fire, that you can encounter him. We had a lady at Celebrate Recovery last night, and or Friday night, and I can't even begin to just tell you the story. I will summarize it by this. Three marriages, four rapes, two abortions, the loss of all of her kids, loved ones or friends and associates in this drug trade that were murdered. And when I walked in to Celebrate Recovery and I saw her sitting before she ever gave her testimony, if you'd have said, what kind of woman is she? I'm like, she's a sweet lady. She's precious, you know, just looks like an ordinary person, got a family, her husband's here, you know, and all that. A cutter, had cut herself to the bone, but she was so drunk they couldn't do surgery. They had to find a way to get the blood alcohol out of her system to give them time to do the surgery. That's how far she had gone. And the reason that she drank is because when she woke up, she remembered who she was. Like Gideon, though, you know, not who God saw her as. So when she woke up, she saw herself and she couldn't stand it. And so she would drink and do drugs in order to cover this thing up. And she was asking, God, I don't know if you can ever forgive me. I started out in church way back, but I don't know if I've gone too far or not. And she ran into this man who became her husband, who's sitting in the room. And he told her about Isaiah 1:18. And it says, let us settle the matter. Oh, I love that. Can you hear that? Maybe that'll burn in your heart. Let us settle the matter. Let's settle this thing today, Ember, shall we? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be washed white as snow. And that verse burned in her heart. And for the first time, she had hope. And she believed that God would do something. She said, I didn't know if he'd do it or not. She said, but that verse burned in my heart. And she said, for the first time, I hoped maybe he would. Maybe he would forgive me. And she encountered the God who forgives, the God who takes back in the prodigals, the God who washes away sin. She encountered him. You want to wait on God? Get in his word. Have somebody speak the word of God over you until it sets your heart on fire. This body of believers is the other way. I know when you're going through a hard time, something whispers in your ear, don't get up this morning, don't go. And in the second week, it tells you not to go. And in the third week, it tells you, well, nobody called about you anyway, so they don't even really care about you, so don't go. Oh, I done heard these lies before. I know them. If you want to hear some more, I'll tell you all of them. That way, they won't sound trivial or novel to you, okay? And then you're just gone. I will tell you that there is something about being in the presence of believers. It just clears the pipes toward heaven. You know, if they seem a little congested to you and you're like, I can't figure out how to get to God, would go on and get around some people that know how. I tell you what, there's some people around here, they got a direct line. It's a local call. That doesn't even make sense anymore now that everybody's got free. I just realized that how old that made me. Yeah. Everybody here has unlimited calling. Okay. Man. Number three, God will sometimes initiate. You don't even know what's going to happen. Paul, sometimes he will just call you. Two Sundays ago, I had no idea I was going to be laying in the floor crying, prophesying over people. Never even crossed my mind. God says, you think you're going to ambush me? I'll ambush you, Kevin. our troubles. You don't think God's anywhere in your troubles when you're going through them, right? Surely God is not here. I'll tell you, He's right in the middle of them. Because most of the time what's happening is that's an area where we need to learn about God more. We need to know Him more. And that's why that area is there. And it's not that God sent it. Don't mistake that, okay? But God says, oh, by the way, since you're in it, let me show you who I am. That way you can learn from it and you can grow from it and you can conquer it and you can be victorious in that area. And so He comes in the troubles. You can find Him in the troubles. Don't act like He's not there, because He is. And then I've been reading a book by Tozer. He's dead, I think. Most of the people I read are. And he says, you'll find Him after midnight. That's like Jacob. You'll find Him after midnight. You're like, why does God make it so difficult? You know? Why does it seem like I pray and nothing happens? Can I just say this is the best way I know how? Because you got to get serious. You got to seek Him with a whole heart. You can't come half-hearted. And that's what a lot of us do. We come half-hearted, half-trying. We put up about one or two prayers and nothing happens. And what happens? We quit, right? And then we try to solve it ourselves. And I would say that He comes after midnight. That symbolizes this thing that He comes often when you feel like you're just about to quit, like you can't go on, like if something doesn't happen, you're going to be done for. And He'll show up after midnight. So watch for Him and don't give up. Stay hungry. And then the other thing is this. When He comes, we don't get to control how He comes. Okay? Can I tell you, you don't get to control how He comes. There'll be times where you feel like you need this. I need God to move in this area. A pastor that I know, he says, you'll be praying because you got a gash and you need God to come and put some ointment and a Band-Aid, and God comes and brings you a bowl of ice cream. You ever had that happen? You're praying for this. And you know that, God, you have got to come. You have got to move in this area. And God says, you want some ice cream? You're like, what? What are you talking about? You're blessing me in this area. I need to be blessed in this area. God says, so do you want the ice cream or not? Because you see, that's how He works. He's God. Which is, don't worry about that. I got that. That's how it is in every area of life. Yeah, I know it's trite, but it is true. He's not worried about that. He's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. Right now, I need you to enjoy ice cream. All right? And then once you know that I give ice cream, we'll move over here in the appropriate time and we'll deal with this. There are some of us that we have not encountered God because we said if He does not show up like this, at this time, in this way, it won't be God. Do you realize, do you hear the sound of that? Do you hear it? What you're saying is this. If God does not show up in a way that I know or a way that I am familiar with, I will discount it. Which is essentially saying the only things that will be God to you are the things that you're familiar with. You can't have more of God if you keep making Him be familiar. He's not familiar. By the way, when you encounter Him, He's not even safe. Nothing's safe. Nothing. Your finances are not safe. You'll start giving it away. Your house is not safe. He'll tell you to sell it. You know, all these different things. But when He does, don't try to make this stuff up now, because you'll be like me. You'll get worried. You know, when He tells you to, it'll be fine, you know. But if you only choose to encounter God in ways that you're familiar, you won't progress with God. So praise team, come. Here's how we're going to begin. We're going to begin in worship. Because they're going to sing, and we're going to sing the Word of God, and we're going to declare it, and you've got your Bible. And I would pray that you would, maybe God would lead you to some verses of Scripture. He may lead you to a person that you need to go up to and say, can you help me? I need to encounter God. I think I need to encounter Him here, but I'm willing to encounter Him however He'll show up. So you may need to move around and get with somebody. But we're just going to spend this time. You can stand if you want to stand. You can sit if you want to sit. You can come to the altar at any point if you need to come to the altar. I just need to make this bold declaration. Today, we will encounter the God of. Because we know that He is. And we will seek Him. And we will seek Him with a whole heart. And He promises that we will find Him. Now in doing that, Mackie, I really do think you're supposed to be a part of this, brother. Come sit up on this stage right up here, okay? Mackie is he's a businessman. And he's been very successful at it. But he's in my top five of people I know that love God. He's probably in my top two, actually. If you said, who are some people that you know love God? I'd say Mackie McCaslin loves God. He called me up one day and he said, Kevin, you got to come to my house because we're just going to spend time with God. He lives in Abbeville, like 2 hours away. Took me all day to get there. And man, we laid in the floor and we talked and we laughed and we prayed and we listened to music. But I tell you what we did. I encountered God with Mackie McCaslin because I tell you what, He seeks Him. He loves Him. And I believe what He has is contagious because He makes me want it when I'm around Him, you know? And if some of you say, you know what, I need some of that. I need some of that hunger. I need some of that love of God. Then I'd invite you to come and just have Mackie pray over you. Have Mackie say something about God. I guarantee you'll start crying. He's about to start crying now. Because he just loves God. So we're going to encounter God. But you'll have to go after Him. And at any point in time you have to leave, go ahead and know that you can leave, all right? Because I have no idea where this thing will go once we're going to open the can. And then we're off to the races. Today, we will encounter God.